step into the shadows of the forest and immerse yourself in a tale as old as time itself, the enigmatic legend of Bigfoot. In this episode, we venture into the realm of the unexplained, where towering trees hold secrets and footprints tell stories. Tonight on Newsworthy, two words and two question marks. You have scoured the podcast world and finally found us, Newsworthy with Steve and Jerry, where we delve into all things mysterious, macabre, or out of this world, and decide if they are truly newsworthy. Two words and two question marks.
Hello, I'm Ed Locke with USA Mortgage. Tax season is upon us. Did you know that 47% of Americans are planning to use their tax refunds for everyday expenses, home improvements, and vacations? What if you used your tax refund for a new home instead? Again, this is Ed Locke with USA Mortgage. Your tax refund can be used towards down payment, closing costs, or paying down existing debt to help get approved. So before you spend that tax refund, let's get together and see how to best utilize those funds to invest in your future and your new home. Call or text me at 502-680-0953. Again, that's 502-680-0953. NMLS ID 448908. Das Acquisitions LLC. Doing business as USA Mortgage. NMLS ID 227262. This is not a commitment to lend. Additional terms and conditions apply. USA Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Hello, Mr. Jerry.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
Doing great.
You know, I am excellent. You know why?
Why is that?
We have a special guest today.
Yes, we do.
A wonderful transplant to the Central Kentucky area. Where are you from, Sarah? Sarah Ramirez is with us today, everyone. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Super duper excited to be here. So,
aww, she's super to see us. Or me, anyway. I don't know about you.
So, born and raised in California. And when I was about 15, my dad moved us to Arizona. And I lived there till up to 5 years ago. Ended up here in Kentucky.
What brought you from Arizona to Kentucky?
It's a long story. I don't want to get into it.
Okay. I always ask that question because it's always, you know, it's always an interesting story usually. Like, I moved to Idaho and out of nowhere, and it was like, everybody there was like, where are you from?
And because I'm like, of your accent.
Right.
Sure.
And I was like, Kentucky, and never failed. Soon as they found out I was from Kentucky, the first thing they did, now this is in the early 2000s, first thing they did was look down to see if I was wearing shoes. I'm like, are you shitting me right now? What a stereotype.
Sarah, have you heard, listening to some of our previous podcasts, have you ever heard us talking about the fan that Steve bought for me one time that's this 2 foot wide, 3 foot tall picture of his head?
Oh, yes.
That's all. It's literally this big.
That's a nightmare.
I say all that to say this. When you ask what brought her here, I guarantee it wasn't that.
No. But it did have to do with a man and bad choices.
So oh,
I'm sorry. Maybe it was about it. We're certainly glad to have you here.
Very glad. We love having guests. And tonight's topic, man, I am beyond stoked.
It's got to be, right?
It's been a long time coming.
The OG of cryptids.
Yeah, for the most part. So Ramona goes ahead. She's going ahead and starts and says, hey. So everyone, please acknowledge the fact that dogs are being dumb. I apologize.
It's a good doggo.
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard, but a couple of days ago, the sun and the moon, they walked into a Starbucks. And the sun says, oh, man, I forgot my wallet. The moon says, don't worry, I got you covered. Oh. In case, for those of you that don't know, Steve is insanely jealous right now. That's his jealousy and envy coming out.
It's the best dad joke you've heard, isn't it?
So timely.
You know, if we did this podcast every day and you had less than 24 hours to come up with a dad joke, I would understand that would be what you come up with.
That would hurt, except I've heard your jokes. So, yeah, no.
Gosh.
Not so much.
Well, with timing in mind, would you tell me what time it is there, Steve?
7:53.
And you checked that on what?
A watch.
I do too. My Apple Watch says it's 7:53. How does Bigfoot check the time?
How?
He checks his Sasquatch.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Now I came up with that in less than 24 hours.
Well, that's still better than what he had.
That was pretty good.
Very timely as well.
Gosh. Well,
I bet both of those are going to kill yours.
What are you talking about? See, here's the thing. I went and bought dinner tonight because I actually burned our dinner.
You did?
Damn,
let me guess. You didn't take it out in time.
I screwed the whole freaking dad joke up.
I thought you were harping back to what we were discussing earlier.
No, see, I burned 2,000 calories today is what I was getting at. Yeah, I burned the pizza I had in the oven.
Oh.
Terrible.
I think either one of ours.
Fine. Fine. Mm.
And wanted to make fun of our jokes. Can you believe that?
Yeah, and then they okay. I you know, that's on me.
Shameful.
So I just want to throw a quick shout out to some Country Crush wine, Natural Blackberry. It was made. We have a lot of fans in Michigan. A lot of people listen to us in Michigan. This is made in Omenia, Michigan.
Never heard of that.
Pretty expensive bottle of wine. Very good.
I was very impressed with the smell. It smells like blackberry.
Yeah, Jerry doesn't drink with me anymore, and that leads to me drinking way too much. So I apologize in advance.
I want to smell the bottle.
Sure. Yeah, that's all that's left because the bottles are empty.
There's a drop there. Might be a hummingbird, but
yeah, it was pretty good. It went pretty quick.
It does smell good. It's very sweet.
Yeah, I like it. So
that's one of the prerequisites for cold, any wine.
Sweet, red. That's perfect. If it matches those criteria, we're good. I also have a really large, rather large bottle of Barefoot Fruscato, which of the blueberry variety, which is my favorite of those varieties. It's really good also. So you'll hear that crack open in a little while.
In case anyone is wondering, Steve went to the doctor last week and they told him he needed more fruits and vegetables in his diet. And this is the way he gets it. Blackberries, blueberries.
What's wrong with that?
Hey,
I also eat lots of potatoes.
There you go.
For those of you that don't know, vodka is made out of potatoes. So, tonight's topic, we're covering the original OG, Bigfoot.
Now, is that the original gangster or the original old guy?
Ooh, I think it could go either way. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, I agree.
But we are excited. We're accepted, and we're going to be live at the Bigfoot Festival in Logan, Ohio. That's the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. August the 2nd and 3rd. If you guys are, it's 3 hours from us. If you guys are anywhere near Logan, Ohio, August 2nd and 3rd, you need to come see us. Tell us your stories.
You're into cryptids. You don't like us, but are really into cryptids.
Check it out. They had a metric butt ton, that is, or butt load, excuse me, people there last year, and they plan to expand that quite a bit this coming year. We're stupid excited to be a part of that. So we'll be doing live interviews. If you have an experience, want to go on the air, we'll interview right there, right in our little area.
That's scary.
What?
we're going to take strangers we've never heard, we don't know anything about, and put them on the air live.
Oh, absolutely.
You could probably get some really good, interesting stories.
I'm sure, but thank goodness it's not covered by the FTC. So we don't need to worry about certain things that they do on radio, right? So yeah. If someone suddenly breaks out with a few F-bombs, we don't worry about
it. Well, it's live. It's, you know,
we'll,
it's not your
We'll fault. Be able to. That's the glorious thing about doing a podcast. Now, most of the time, our podcast is heard by kids. There are parents that listen to it. And so we try to keep it on a PG level. We don't go into details on some of the ghost stories. We try to keep it where a child in a car could hear it if you're listening to it driving down the road.
Oh, I will know that because 2/3 of my dad jokes that I ask for permission for it gets turned down.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, we have decency, Jerry. But,
standards,
you know,
he says.
You know, that's the glorious thing about a podcast. If we decided one day to just start dropping F-bombs, nobody's going to tell us not to. It just changes what we do and changes who can listen to what we do.
Very true.
So, anywho, so let's talk. I want to start this episode tonight. I feel like it's when we're talking about a topic such as Bigfoot, I think it's fair. And even though people are going to pick up pretty quickly where we're coming from, but just to put it out there, to be transparent, Newsworthy is a little different than most podcasts. Some podcasts just cover Bigfoot to be covering Bigfoot, and everybody's all in. They're not trying to figure it out or is there a Bigfoot? There's none of that. We try to at least present facts as we can find them. So I think it's just fair for people to know where our facts are coming from, or if they feel like they're skewed, they know why. And I'll start by saying I'm all in. I'm of the 15% of Americans that believe Bigfoot is a real flesh and blood creature. What do you think, Sarah?
I'm 100% in. Absolutely.
Okay. What do you think, Jerry?
I'm part of the other 85. I will clarify that by saying this. I've always said that I'm a big skeptic of all of them.
Sure.
Stories,
sure.
UFOs, you name it. But there's a couple of things that makes me come around pretty quickly. One of the biggest is when there's a large number of people that claims to have seen something and their stories are very similar and they stay the same over a long period of time. That absolutely applies with Bigfoot.
Absolutely.
According to Wikipedia, there's been over 10,000 reported sightings of Bigfoot. You can't get 100 people to lie about something and tell the same story over a period of time, much less 10,000. So right. There's something going on. Furthermore, this is not something that's localized to the United States or certain areas. This folklore throughout history has stories from almost every civilization of something like it.
Right.
It's got different names. But again, I've had zero experience. I'm not like you. I didn't have a first-hand encounter. So I'm a skeptic, but I do believe that there's absolutely something there.
It's one of those things that, like you say, it's kind of like the flood story. Every single culture in the world has a flood story.
They do.
Doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what part of the world they're from. Every single one of them has a flood story. Most of them have a Bigfoot story.
Slash Sasquatch slash Hairy Man slash whatever you want to call it. Yeti.
Skunk Ape. Yetis.
Yes.
Whatever.
But you're right. They've all got some story of something very similar.
And now we get into the finer points. I think that okay, so within the Bigfoot community, I do believe there's some fringe things that go on, too. People who believe that Bigfoot is interdimensional, I don't buy into that. I really feel that this is a flesh and blood creature. I will say, and I've told you 100 times, that if we don't have definitive proof in the next 5 to 10 years, then maybe I'm wrong.
There's just too many cameras.
The world is getting so small because of cameras. And if Bigfoot, even if he has intelligence, I don't imagine a situation where he's traipsing through, you know, Oregon and can spot, you know, 5,000 trail cams before they catch him.
I agree. I don't know if it's 5 or 10, but if he does exist, evidence will show up before too long.
I would think.
I've kind of been sitting on that interdimensional idea for a little bit, and I found something that I think you guys would find interesting.
Ooh.
If I could get in my notebook here.
Look, Jerry, she's got paper.
Paper and pen, my man.
And it works great until you forget the darn thing at work, home, car.
So I know you will be familiar with this podcast, the speaker, maybe not you so much, but Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, I love Coast to Coast.
Yes. Sure.
George Norrie.
So they did a podcast 1 year ago, and they had David Polides on there. He's the guy that did the 411 stories, missing children and people and all that.
Yeah.
Well, he stopped doing the 411 and started doing Sasquatch research. And he found a scientist by the name of Dr. Ketchum, if you want to Google that or whatever.
Oh, look at her. She's calling you out, Jerry. She's calling you out.
So he able to get with her, and she set up a whole team. And what they did was they took hairs and DNA samples that they got from people's sightings. So there's a few instances of people that are like, oh, I saw a Sasquatch. He was in the garbage or whatever. He left hairs or whatever like that, stars like that. So they gathered all this DNA, and they went to test it. And turns out, 10 to 30 years ago was the first time that they started testing the DNA, but those scientists were going off of the basis that it was an ape only. So they were testing for ape DNA. So with that being said, they weren't able to find ape DNA. So what happened was he started to question all the scientists and try to figure out, you know, the stories and all the stuff that they were listening to and what their science was going off of. And he found out that they would never consider indigenous stories and the Native Americans and the Canadian natives telling their stories, that
and
it's
that's a
person
huge part of this story.
Yeah, that it's these are people, they're tribes, they're just different. They're like us, but they're different. So this scientist Ketchum, they went in, they were able to take those hairs and test them. And what they found out was that these Bigfoot hairs are actually closer to human DNA. So they can find...
Oh, wow.
They found the female essence in the Bigfoot hair, but there is no known male DNA in that hair. And so the female hair is Homo sapien.
Wow, Jerry. Now Jerry's going to be running out in the woods.
But the whole male thing.
Believe it or not, I'm looking for something that correlates and backs up what you just said.
Awesome. And then the male DNA, they just have no idea what that is.
Weird.
So the story is that maybe it is from outer space. Maybe it's interdimensional, because whatever it is, we don't have it on Earth to compare it to anything.
Interesting. Or we just simply, it isn't close enough.
Something, we just don't have it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is something.
I'm not for sure where. Never mind, I just found it.
What did you find?
On Wikipedia, under the Bigfoot article.
Okay.
Some alleged observations describe Bigfoot as more human than ape, particularly in regard to the face. In 1971, multiple reports in the Dallas, Oregon area filed a police report describing an overgrown ape. One of the men claimed to have sighted the creature in the scope of his rifle. He said the reason he could not bring himself to shoot it is because it looked more human than animal.
I heard that too. Yeah. That's a lot of people that say they saw it and they have a weapon, it's because it looks human. And there's different variances of the Bigfoot. There's tall, they're short, they have darker hair, lighter hair, which is going to correlate with the whole Homo sapien thing, because I look a lot different than you do, and you look a lot different than he does.
I'm glad I look a lot different than he does. I'm
we're
just
all Homo sapiens.
So. Notice you don't have your glasses on. That explains a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see all that across the table. I'm just saying. So, did you find anything about Dr. Jeff Meldrum?
Meldrum, not ringing a bell.
Okay, so Meldrum has been on. He is a he works for one of the big universities out west, and he has at least a thousand different footprints of Bigfoot. And he is one of the hugest. That's a good way of starting a podcast, not being able to speak. But he is one of the biggest proponents that Bigfoot is a flesh and blood creature. He definitely leaves footprints behind, but we can't get DNA because we don't have anything to compare it to. So, not that he's interdimensional, just that we simply don't know what he is.
There's a lot of questions.
Lots and lots of questions.
But isn't there always with everything that we're not familiar with?
Yes.
Give me a couple examples of what I mean by that.
I was waiting for more.
we were like, you had us hooked, and you didn't set. You didn't. Yes. We were eating the bait, but you didn't set the hook, Jerry. Come on now.
I found it now. Here's a few examples of species that were once known and thought to be cryptids, right? But now we know better. Number one, Komodo dragon. Until 1910, stories of a giant lizard on the island of Komodo in Indonesia were laughed at by respectable scientists. Until what? Until one was caught, killed, and sent to people who verified it. Platypus. If you aren't familiar with the platypus and looked at a picture of one, it would be easy to believe
it's the most messed up thing.
A duck, an otter, a beaver. And again, that didn't change until the late 1700s. You guys ever heard of an Okapi?
Okapi.
Okapi. O-K-A-P-I. It's known as the forest giraffe. An okapi is a blend of a zebra, a donkey, a deer, and an antelope is the way it looks.
Got a picture of that thing?
I'll find it in just a second.
I want to see that.
I don't know that I want to see that.
A couple more examples if you want to go back a little bit. Well, actually, the giant squid. Many people still believe that is a cryptid. It's not real. We know that it is.
Was that the same as a kraken, or is that a different animal?
That's totally different. Well, the kraken was just a mythical sea monster, right? Unless you're, what was her name? The woman, Trump's attorney, that was going to release the kraken and never did. Anyway, kangaroo. At one point, it wasn't until 1499 when a gentleman by the name of Ormego Vespucci.
Say that three times fast?
Let's just say
it. Don't hurt yourself.
Oh, I really wanted him to hurt himself.
Here's the way he described it. A monstrous beast with a head of a fox, the hands of a man, the tail of a monkey, and a bag that is used to carry its young.
Krampus? It's Krampus.
Mm.
The scary Christmas guy.
But that was 1499. Until then, kangaroos, we thought, were cryptids. The point is, we're talking about that there's not much known. There's not DNA evidence. You know what? There wasn't much known about any of these until we figured out that it actually existed. And
so, Jeffrey Meldrum, or your Andy, what do you got there?
Oh, there's your old copy. Okay, yeah, I've seen that. I didn't know it was called that.
Oh, yeah, that's ugly. That's hideous.
Oh, it's cute with its big ears and stripes on its butt.
It looks much like it got than, all. It looks like it went through the blender and just came out backwards.
Much cuter than pigeons, I can promise you that.
See, why you got hate on pigeons, man?
I don't.
You're hating on pigeons.
I love them.
Listen, you guys need to stick around for the bonus story today. Jerry is absolutely hating on pigeons, and it's his fault.
So not true.
100% his fault.
I love pigeons. If you doubt me, ask, and I'll give you the recipe.
So, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum is a full professor of anatomy and anthropology in the Department of Biological Sciences at Idaho State University. He's the one that has all the Bigfoot castings of the feet, and he does a lot of research about their feet and how you can instantly tell a fake based on the impressions that it leaves.
Okay.
If you put a Bigfoot foot on your foot, you know, strap it on, it doesn't have the same bends and breaks that it would if it were naturally...
Like flesh and bone.
Yeah. We have a cat in the studio. Good one-eyed, gravy.
One-eyed homies.
The whole damn show's ruined now. We got a cat in the studio.
I lied to you. He loves cats.
Whatever.
I have photos that will prove it.
So anyway, he is one of the leading experts on the castings and how they step. And when they leave that impression that they take the casting of, will tell you instantly if it's fake or not. If it's just flat, you know, that's just somebody with a boot making.
That makes sense.
Yeah. A real casting, just like if you stepped in the mud, is going to leave a specific way.
It's going to have all those creases and impressions. Right. And
most Bigfoot observers believe that their foot is much more ape-like, where ours bends more at the toes. Theirs bends more at the arch, just because of the amount of weight that the feet carry in a Bigfoot. Bigfoot are creatures... Depending on who you hear from, 6, 8, 10 feet, 6, 8 thousand pounds. It's a big ass creature.
It's a big guy.
So what else you got? Put right on the spot. That's beautiful. I like that. That was great.
I did find something else that was really cool. I got this at, I do believe, BFR, their website. Bigfoot, something or another.
Let me just stop you real quick.
What's up?
Look at her. She is so prepared. She brought sources, Jerry, just so that she knows how to combat you.
I'm giving you websites.
She's heard me sources. Make fun of you.
I've had lots of episodes to learn from.
I love it. I love it. And first of all, let me just stop real quick. Thank you for listening to the show and wanting to come on the show. We appreciate you being here.
I get an opportunity to spew nonsense. I'm in.
I love it.
So this BFRO website, you can go there and hear Yeti or Sasquatch scream.
Actually have that right here. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear it?
Play it for us.
Let's see if I can pull it up. Let's see. This is... recorded in 2004. It's a moaning howl from Mississippi. Maybe. Here we go. Maybe. Apparently my computer has decided not to play it. Wow.
Well, let's let Sarah go ahead and
you go ahead.
Play it in a minute.
And as I get it up here to play it, I'll just let it go.
Okay, so this story is from Arizona, and this is on the Mogollon Rim. It's part of the White Mountains out there, and it's as close to the sky as you can get in the desert. High desert, yes. Lots of times. I've never experienced anything personally. I've never seen one or heard one or anything like that. I'm just down with the Bigfoot.
There you go.
Oh, here we go.
It sounds a whole lot like a dog, doesn't it?
That does not.
That's a dog barking at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
Is it a
siren?
That is not what I heard. But yeah, that's pretty cool. It sounds kind of like a...
It kind of does.
You know, we have dogs here. Sketty, anytime she ambulance go by, police go by, nothing. Fire truck go by, she goes crazy. All right, keep going. I'm going to find a couple more listen. But you keep going. Yeah, okay. I apologize.
All right. No, you're good. But this goes along the lines of all the basic stories that you hear online and everywhere. This couple goes out camping. They're out here on the Mogollon Rim, and they hear yelling, screaming. It's just a guttural, super loud, long, drawn-out type of scream. So they go out and try to investigate a little bit, not getting too far away from anything, because hearing something like that freaks you out a bit.
Sure.
It goes away. They figure they're fine. It's okay. It must have been a wild animal, whatever. They go to the tent to go to bed. Soon as they turn all their lights off, they start hearing rustling in the woods around them and just thrashing and all kinds of violence in the trees. And so the husband gets out. He has his flashlight, pops it over and starts looking around. He doesn't see anything. And there's silence. No birds, no crickets, nothing. Oof. Everything's just oof. Quiet. Yeah.
Oof.
So
oof.
Him and the wife are just, you know, like, oh, that's weird. And they're just trying to keep their cool. So they go back into the tent. Well, he does. She stayed in. And turn the lights out again. Relax. Just starting to come down a little bit. The dogs start going crazy. They start hearing noises again out in the woods. Husband jumps up, pulls out the flashlight, looks around. Nothing happens. The dogs go completely silent. Everything's quiet. So that happened a few times throughout the night. And after that, it was just nothing. Just total silence. And then the next morning, they get up and go explore into the woods a little bit. And they find huge tree branches that are like 5-6 foot tall, broken off of the pine trees and stacked like teepees, like, you know, like crisscrossing. And they didn't see it when they got there. They'd never seen it before nor after that experience. And they're convinced that was a Bigfoot story.
Wow.
I don't know if it would convince me of that. I do know there's no way in hell I would stick around for a night two.
Yeah, should that? It was. See? Yeah, no, see? I was like, I would be too scared to come out of the tent.
See, this is myself. Why Jerry never, he always complains. I've never had an experience. I don't understand what you're thinking
maybe
about.
Maybe they know you can't handle it.
But he never puts himself in a position like, what is the place in
the world? Who is the guy that has told you? I told you I'd go up there at any time.
The asylum?
The asylum.
The sanatorium.
The sanatorium. Jerry's like, oh, no, hell, I ain't going to a sanatorium. That's crazy.
Wrong. Go back to the episode. I told you I would. For Halloween, we were supposed to go to your haunted graveyard.
Oh, I can't wait, dude.
And you backed out. I was going to spend the night there.
I kind of had a. No. Yeah,
he didn't scare her out, but he had commitment or something.
Yeah, I kind of found out about the big.
Yeah, he let, you know, something small.
Something
like
small
cancer.
Like that.
I let cancer stop me. Wow. Gosh, I'm so sorry.
Unbelievable, you quit.
Shows you.
What an insignificant, insensitive prick I was,
yeah,
right? Gosh.
But I'm happy that all worked out for you. You
oh, amen. Thank
so
you.
So that was great. But yeah, no, that's that happened on the Mogollon Rim, and I felt like that was close to home for me because I've spent lots of time out in those woods. I've hiked those woods, jeep rides, all kinds of good stuff. Rode the motorcycle out there, so it's a beautiful place. Very beautiful.
I'm very excited that I keep looking for these videos, and it always brings up videos, and I don't want to pull up a bunch of videos for the vocalizations because. One of the biggest, okay, so I personally had an experience that I believe was Sasquatch. I've told this before on the air, and I'll tell it again here in a second, but I'm just a nobody, right? One of the people that is famous for being out in the wild, who is famous for knowing, I guess what's the for knowing what's going on out in the wild? What was the name of that show? Not Bear Grylls. The other guy.
Naked and Afraid.
No, the other no.
You even know what that is?
Sure.
Okay.
Jerry's all into
that.
I would
watch that way more than he would.
Yeah, I don't watch TV.
Not that type. He watches conspiracy theory crap.
That's what's up.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Naked and Afraid had a lot of good episodes.
Survivor Man. What is his name?
Oh, yeah. That guy, he'd go out to the wilderness all the time and just live off the land, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Hang on. I'm pulling it up right here. I'll find it. Gosh. Les Stroud. Gosh, why could I not think of Les Stroud's name? So Les Stroud, who has been in just about every environment on Earth, has encountered most type of alpha predators on the planet, be it snakes or lions or tigers or bears, oh my. It was in Alaska, or it was either Alaska or northern Canada, in that region, many times. And every time said he felt like he was being followed, he was being hunted. He often would get a sight of something in his peripheral that he couldn't identify. Lestrade often would hear things in the middle of the night, like you're saying, whoops and sounds that were unheard of, that he had never heard in the wild before. This is a man that, you know, you talk about wanting people who are good, and I'm using air quotes, good witnesses. This is a man who lives in the out in the wild. A
credible source.
Yeah, credible sources. You don't get a more credible source than Lestrade. He doesn't have anything to gain by, it's not like he's out hunting Bigfoot. It's not like he's out there proclaiming its existence because, you know, he's got a book to sell. He just...
Maybe he just spent so much time in the wild by himself that he's losing it.
Maybe. That's a possibility. And
Sarah's taking my job.
But anyway, we was talking about Lestrade and some of the things that he's heard and seen when he's been out. And he's, you know, there's Bear Grylls. That guy takes a whole crew out. They camp out beside him.
I was about to say, isn't he that guy that got helicoptered out because he got cold or whatever?
Yeah, he was cold and he didn't have the right food. Lestrade is not that guy. Lestrade goes out with three cameras. He will walk half a mile, set a camera, walk back, and then make the walk so the camera catches him making the walk. That's a real, that's a man's man. There. And he has heard things in the wild that is kind of crazy. So I got some recordings here. You guys want to hear some Bigfoot? And I'm using air quote, Bigfoot. So this is 1978, screams from Snohomish, Washington. Let's see what it sounds like here. That sounds pretty like just wind, doesn't it?
Or kinda, like the whoops that they do. Whoop.
Yeah. So Klamath, California.
Yes.
Here's some screams in 1993 from, am I saying that right? Klamath?
Klamath.
Klamath. It sounds pretty. I'd be scared shitless if I heard that out in the woods. I'm just saying.
That doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before.
Me either.
Well, I would have heard the first one. I'd have been gone before the second one come around.
No, in quotes, Bigfoot, Sasquatch screams or whatever, they are very spooky. Yep.
So, all right, so I think, I was trying to think, sorry.
Such a big sigh. Is it that hard?
Well, no, I wanted to talk about.
I smoke. Do I need to get the fire extinguisher?
No, I've had a lot of wine. Okay. It's all Sarah's fault.
Oh, sure, yeah. I keep pouring it for you. Huh? Said I keep pouring it for you.
I'm so glad. Thank you that you just acknowledge that. That it is not my fault entirely. So let's listen to one more. And then I want to tell you my personal story about what I feel like Bigfoot sort of sounds like. And I want to bring it up. I'm going to try on part two of Bigfoot. I'm going to try really hard to get Wes to come join us.
I bet he would. What's the name of his? Let's give a plug Sasquatch out to a guy.
Yeah, let's give
him. Really helped us early on.
Sure.
Does. If you're interested in these type of stories, Wes has a podcast he does every weekend.
Sasquatch Chronicles.
Yep.
Oh, that's his whole podcast.
That's all he talks about. He talks to he talks to people who have encountered some sort of Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
He had Mr. Steve on.
I was actually on and told him about the experience I'm about to share here.
Let's hear it.
So basically, and the cool thing is I'm going to try to get, I've actually thought about trying to get Tommy on. Tommy, I don't know if he'd be interested in coming on. If he is, we would be love to have him. I know he listens to the show. So back in the day, we was probably 12, 13 years old. Tommy and I decided one night we was going to camp out. We ended up camping out with no tent, no trees, just out beside my house. We slept in sleeping bags under the stars. And about halfway through the night, we woke up to a horrid stench.
Like, you experienced the smell thing.
The worst smell I've ever encountered in my entire existence. Didn't think anything of it. Went to bed, woke up. We were covered and drenched and, you know, in dew because it was, you know, dew had fell and we were wet. We were working at the time. We worked on a small tobacco farm. And so we went to work all week. We bought us a small tent and we decided that weekend we were going to go camping out. Now, Tommy, I had about, in my little place where I lived was about 6 acres. Tommy had a small, his dad had a small farm of about 12 to 20 acres right next door to us. We told his dad that we were going camping. We were just going to go out, pitch a tent. His dad had no idea where on the 12 acres we were going. None. And I say that only because some people have thought that it was his dad messing with us. Okay. There is zero, as sure as I'm sitting here. Now, Larry has went on to be with the Lord. But as sure as I'm sitting here, that was not the case. And I know it wasn't the case because later, after Tommy had already moved out and I moved away, Larry and his wife, Connie, which was Larry, Tommy's mom and dad, had the same similar experience sitting on their back porch. So we found us a small grove of cedar trees on a hillside. We popped our little tent, and it was the dumbest thing ever because we were young and stupid. We popped our tent on a hillside, so we kept sliding down toward the base, right? That, you know, it didn't make sense for us to pop our tent on a flat piece of land.
And, never.
In this place, in this part of Kentucky, it's hard to find flat land anyway. So we were doing that. We were sitting there. We were having a fun time, singing songs, whatever. And all of a sudden, in the distance, we heard this sound. Basically, it was something saying the what sounded like the word Ike. Ike, 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 Ike. And it kept getting louder and louder. And it wasn't coming from the area of which my, you know, his dad lived. I lived with my elderly aunt. It definitely wasn't her. She couldn't walk out to the car without stopping to catch her breath. So it wasn't her. And it was coming from the deep woods. Ike, 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 Ike. And it got to the tent. I mean, right to the tent. It wasn't like it was looking for us. It came right to the tent. And by the time it was on the tent, you could feel it more than you could hear it. It was like, like a really big bass, like guttural, I. So Tommy and I, in all of our wisdom and our 13-year-old wisdom, it was terrifying. We hop out of the tent, whew, flashlights in hand, and we go in a circle, and we don't see anything.
No.
Nothing.
On top of the tent.
Nothing.
No.
We look around. We walk around. We can't find anything. Now, granted, we are in the tent is literally under a bunch of cedars, you know, evergreens. But we didn't see anything. So we walk around. We hem-hawed around. We finally go back into the tent. We sit in there. Here it comes again. I just all the way up onto the tent. And again, it's like you can feel it more than you can, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. You can't even, it is, have you ever been in a car with really big bass? Jerry, you're old school. You probably have never have.
you back in the day, I was driving a $500 car with a $1,000 stereo.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking
about. Pioneer stereo system, you know, with Jensen speakers.
You know what that bass feels like. It's just,
you feel it coming.
You feel it.
Inside and out.
Right. And that's what this felt like. Tommy and I were petrified. So we felt like if we were going to die, at least we should be outside so we have a chance to run. Out we come out of the tent. Look around. Nothing. Don't see anything. Now, we were looking for his dad, or we were looking for, you know, our friend up the street, Melody, or, you know, somebody messing with this. We weren't looking for Bigfoot. We weren't looking for something that could hide well, right? We were looking for someone that's obviously
just messing with you.
Just messing with us. And there was nothing there. So fast forward through the weekend, one of the things that we did, the little field behind, directly behind my house, the neighbors would put cows in. And once my uncle passed, we didn't have anything there. So my aunt let them run some cows in there or whatever. And it was just my job to go out, make sure the dogs were fed and stuff before school. So it was Monday. I think it was summertime. So I don't even think I was going to school. I was probably going to work on that tobacco farm. But I go out. And down, so there's like an acre wide. It's more wide. It's like a rectangle. And the side from our house to the barn, probably acre and a half of distance between our house and the barn down at the bottom. And behind that barn was a pond. But beside the barn, there was enough room beside the barn in this tree to drive a tractor through, just for point of reference. Down at the base, by this tree, was a being, a thing. I originally thought it was a bear. It was, there's no way it could have been a bear. First of all, black bears in this part of Kentucky were extremely rare.
Aren't they small, right?
Black bear are very small compared to grizzlies and stuff out west, Kodiak. But anyway, so I see this thing, and I feel like it sees me because it's just like huffing and growling, and because I'm standing on a fence post looking down at it. And at one point, it gets very angry and just whack, slaps this branch on the tree. Okay, no big deal. Turns around on two legs and walks back toward the pond behind the barn, and I lose sight of it. Well, I'm freaked the F out, right? I'm 13, 12, 13 years old. I am freaked the F out. So I run in. I'm trying to tell my aunt about it. She thinks I'm nuts. So I run down the street. I grab Tommy. And Tommy's dad, Larry, was probably 5'9", 5'10". He's shorter than I am now. Good dude. He's like, we'll go see. He's very calm. He's a lot like you, Jerry. Very calming, very, you know.
Matter of fact.
So we hop in the car. We drive down. We go all the way down to the barn. Again, 5'9", 5'10". He reaches up over his head on his tippy toes, with his hands stretched as far as he can, and he can't reach that branch where the thing smacked.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can you describe what you saw as far as the being?
Sure. Very dark. I mean, we're talking a distance of at least football field and a half, maybe two football fields. So it's a good long distance. And from that distance, the head and the face were very ape-like, not hairy.
That's really cool.
The rest of the body, pretty much hairy. Hands were not hairy. Feet were hairy. Just, it looked like a hairy version of Andre the Giant. I don't know how else to put it. It walked like Andre the Giant, but short of a multi-million dollar wrestler putting on a ghillie suit and walking down there, I have no idea of what it could have been. I know it wasn't a bear.
That's really cool because that takes us back to the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
We were talking about how it's more of, it's human. It's part, it's a person or a tribe type. Their face is not furry like a wolf or a dog or a bear.
It was much more ape-like.
Just more bear, but the whole body's hairy yeah. and big.
Yeah, and that smell was all down in that area. Now, to be fair, that smell is also very similar to in Kentucky. If you've ever been near a puddle in the middle of summer that holds water because of the clay, you know what I'm talking about? That mud smell.
It's kind of gross.
It's disgusting. Right.
Yeah.
That whole pond was that way. But that whole area was down that way. And Tommy and I, to this day, every time we were in the woods down there that summer, we felt like we were being watched. Every single time. My personal theory is, They move to where the food is, depending on what time of year it is. And that happened to be our area in that summer. Because at where we live, there was 10 or 15 farms that all backed up together. So there was a huge expanse of woods. There was a huge expanse of non-farmland.
Now, you're saying they go where the food is. There's lots of stories out there about people who have cows, milk cows. The farmers will find their buckets in random places on the farm or on the furthest side of the field. They don't know how it got there. But the story goes that the further out into the woods you are, if you've got those milking cows, they'll come out and milk them and take the milk. And that's a new thing that I just read about and heard about.
I've never heard that before. Jay, you're awful quiet.
I was thinking about what she just said. Unless you have got something to feed the milk cow, they will not stand still. Growing up, we had several milk cows.
We don't even know what these things are. How do we know they just aren't good with cows?
Yeah. Or cows, the cows are scared to death of
them. They just freeze.
What do animals do when they get scared to death? They don't freeze.
They either run or they freeze.
A deer will
fright
freeze.
Or fight.
No, very few. Very few. Cows don't freeze. I've never seen a cow freeze in
my life. I love cows, by the way.
So do I.
They cows taste are really amazing. Good.
But, yeah, that too.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You're not kidding at all. You said I was very quiet. There's something I've been waiting to say.
And oh, please say.
You know, we're calling the episode Bigfoot. And that's one of the common names that is primarily a Western United States name.
Right.
In the Southeastern United States, we have what's called the skunk ape.
Right.
And again, we talked about the fact that this is not just a story that's told in America. It's right. Literally worldwide. Asia has the Yeti. Australia, you find the Yowie. We also mentioned the fact that in almost every civilization that there is recorded history of, they have record of something very similar. It's usually going to be a giant wild creature that lives in the forest. You mentioned about the height is usually 7, 8, 9 feet is probably an average. Some shorter, some taller. It's not saying that every one of these would need to be the same. You know, you've got humans that are short. You've got humans that are
right.
tall.
Right. I absolutely agree to that. I mean, absolutely. If they all look the same, then I'd be a little concerned that they weren't real. Right?
Yeah, United States with their Bigfoot stories has gotten a lot of publicity. And a lot of people says that it's simply stories that came from Europe and got carried over. That doesn't in any way account for the stories that many of our indigenous cultures across the North American continent has been telling for centuries. There's one in particular, the Tule River Indian Reservation. It's in Central California, and they have petroglyphs or rock drawings at a site called the Painted Rock. These drawings are estimated to be 1,000 years old, and several of them depict what is called the Hairy Man. According to the Tulare County Board of Education in 1975, the Hairy Man was a creature that was like a great big giant with long, shaggy hair. His long, shaggy hair made him look like a big animal. 1,000-year-old drawings on a rock. So this story didn't come from Europe. This was around long before we came. So, again, you know, as I said earlier when you were asking what is our perspective, where are we coming from, I tend to be very doubtful. But when you've got evidence of thousands and thousands of sightings in recent history, you've got pictures that we believe are 1,000 years old of Indians who were drawing pictures, there's something there. That's all I'm going to say on that.
I've got a couple of names for him. You tell me if you've heard of him. Another one is going to be the Ruguru.
I have heard of that somewhere.
Say that three times fast.
Ruguru, Ruguru, Ruguru. And we got the Wendigo.
Wendigo, I've heard of that for sure.
The Witico. And, of course, the Sasquatch and the Bigfoot. But those were the Witico and the Ruguru I'd never heard of before. I thought that was pretty cool. And that's going to be the north central regions of America and then the northern plains. That's where those come from.
See, that's the plains are the ones that I have the weirdest understanding of because I've driven through the plains.
Like, how is that big old critter hiding out there?
Right.
Like maybe they're interdimensional or they came out of a UFO.
See, I don't buy those. I mean, I'm sure that's an option. But I mean,
you can't just knock the possibilities because they're not believable.
Huh. Sure we can. Doesn't mean it's correct, but we certainly can knock it.
I've got some numbers here for
okay,
you.
Okay, give us some numbers.
I'm not good at numbers, so bear with me here. All right, so California in 2022, I got this at b.f.sightings and reports.
Okay.
So California in the whole state in the year 2022 reported 461 Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
Wow.
Oregon, 258 in 2023. And then Washington...
Oh, I am so sorry.
Rude.
No, I was trying to get to these whoops.
Washington, in just this year so far, 717 sightings.
The Pacific Northwest has always had statistically a huge portion
the biggest
of these sightings.
Spot. Yeah.
Even anthropologists have found when they go look at Indian tribes, the majority of these stories came from Pacific Northwest as well.
Yeah. And then just for giggles, I looked up Kentucky. The last time they updated that was in 21 with 115 sightings, which I wasn't impressed with considering the stories about Bigfoot here.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, Anderson County is a hotbed for Bigfoot. We have a lot of woods, a lot of hills. Franklin County, a lot of hills, a lot of woods.
I don't think it necessarily correlates those numbers with wooded areas.
Well, I think that you just look at habitat. You know, they're not living in town.
I said what I said based upon the fact I was born and raised in Wayne County. Look it up on a map.
Yeah, there ain't nothing down there.
When you go from the southern part of Wayne County, which is on the Kentucky-Tennessee border, you can go 40 miles south and never have anything, not a house, nothing. So you would think that the numbers in an area like that would be very large. And growing up, I'd never in my life heard of Bigfoot, Sasquatch sightings, and of yet, I've never heard of any. I'm not saying there's not any in the county. They're not very prevalent.
This is what made me a believer instantly.
Oh, please tell us. This is the stuff.
Okay, so not that I have, what, am I giving me the finger?
Oh, I was just going to bring it up real quick. In the United States, while we're on numbers still,
yeah, go ahead.
Old growth forest, just in the United States, and these are forests that have never been
cut
or never been, you know, timbered. 250,439,329 acres.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of habitat that's not been touched. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Now, tell us what made you a believer, please.
It's kind of a silly story, but
there's no such thing.
Willow Creek, California. You guys know Bigfoot story from there?
Ooh. I do not.
Okay. Well, that is where the Bigfoot footage came from in 1967, the Patterson-Gimlin film. Yeah. I remember being real little and seeing it on TV and going, that is as real as my dad sitting in the chair right there. I had no doubt in my mind. As soon as I saw it, I was like, that thing's real. And then to this day, you can go find documentaries, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, wherever. They still can't debunk it. They try really, really hard to, and they dig into every aspect of the video, but they can't say that this is made up. But all in the same note, there was a deathbed confession by one of the so-called makers who said it was a fake.
Really? Yeah.
The other guy, though, has debunked that guy saying that.
Okay.
Saying that it's he said that because he wanted to save his children the face or whatever.
Okay. Or maybe just the unneeded burden of worrying about whether or not it's true.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. And if you go and you watch that film again with the analysis and all that, they can zoom in on the muscle structure, the body, the fur, the face. The face is hairless. It might have a little bit of, you know, stubble, wild man stubble, but not full-fledged hairy face like a lot of people would say Bigfoot had. But you can see the muscles and the tendons and the way the foot moves and the Absolutely. Fur moving and all that. And they even say that they think this one is a female because she has, you know, breast. So it's just, I think that's
Jerry
so cool.
most liked about this video.
He's like zooming
in. Look at that look.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. Contradicts what I said earlier. I never heard the story.
Yeah, man, go check that out.
So Patterson died in 1972. He maintained to the very end, till he passed away, that it was legit.
Yeah.
That they had actually went into the woods after hearing several reports. Mm-hmm. And were about to give up when they were able to capture this film.
They got so lucky.
Yeah.
So lucky.
Gimlin is the one that said, oh, well, maybe, but...
Was that after Patterson died?
Right.
Okay.
But
he had nobody to argue with him.
Right. But even he, all the way almost up until the end, just avoided conversation about it. Almost embarrassed by it. And I can kind of understand that.
Well, there was such a stigma about it.
Right.
Like, you know, like, not to bring this up on your podcast.
No, you bring it up.
Shoot. You know, like, people back in the day weren't allowed to be gay or whatever.
Right.
Well, back in the day, if you believed in Bigfoot or anything without scientific immediate proof, you were crazy. Yeah,
right.
You're a crazy person.
Well, yeah, exactly. And to your credit, to what you say, people have... frame by frame by frame, try to debunk this. Try to say, this is a man in a suit. Literally what you were talking about, the structure, how the body shakes when it steps down,
right.
The way it steps, the way it walks, that there's no...
Like you can see the muscle flexation.
Right.
And
you can
that.
See the tendons give. You mm-hmm. can see almost, with some of our computer programs today, you can see... the way that it
yeah.
looks.
Yeah. Like, what year, 1967?
Yeah.
Like, Hollywood didn't even have anything,
right.
anything that good.
Right. And I agree with you 100%. And so, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, is this film fake, I would say yes.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because 10 years ago, even though I had already had my experience, I didn't realize the level of experience that had went into debunking this film and failed. Does that make sense?
It does. I just don't understand why you would have been skeptical.
Because 10 years ago, I didn't care enough to dig into the research. Does that make sense?
Sure.
But when you start researching this film... very quickly, like today, in today's world, we get these fakes, and it really bothers me. If you are a faker, and you're putting out fake Bigfoot stuff, or fake alien stuff, or fake whatever, to get your name out there, you are not doing the system or the, what's the word? You are not doing the creature, whatever it is, any justice. You know, there's a ton of fakes now. You went from the grainy footage that was faked to now you're getting really great HD footage, but there's no visual faces, and it's all deep fake.
And with all the smart technology and the CGI and all that, your computer's going to pick up on the fake stuff.
Yeah,
it'll pick up on all the pixels and whatnot.
There's no faking this.
No, that
I 100% believe that this is real.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I'm 100% in that the Patterson-Gimlin film.
I've never heard of it.
Is real.
But from some of the things you described that are in it, I have to do some research on it.
You should watch the film, and then you should watch...
Before researching anything, just watch it.
Just watch the film. And then watch it, and many of the videos that you'll watch it, they'll show the whole film, and then they'll come back and they'll frame by frame dissect the film. It gets a little... into it, it's a little...
Well, we're sending him down a rabbit hole.
I know, right?
Yeah. Where would you find it? YouTube?
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. I'm sure if you just Google the title, it'll pull up all kinds of videos and trying to debunk and de-debunk and all that good stuff. That's a lot of wine you're going through there, buddy. It's a good thing you're home and you don't have to drive.
That's the most glorious part I have in the studio in my house.
This is pretty cool. I dig it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, you put that bottle in the half that's gone from that bottle.
You're gonna have to carry him to bed when we're all done with this.
I don't want Jerry carrying me anywhere near my bed.
Calling your wife. Robin, come and get your husband. He passed out in the studio.
Oh my goodness gracious. So all right, so just for the sake of time, and we know we're going to, I want to get into the Gimlin film extensively on our next podcast for Bigfoot.
Okay, that would be
because
cool.
I feel like it's worthy almost of its own episode.
Okay.
And we'd love to have you back, Sarah. I'm speaking for Jerry.
Of course, absolutely.
Awesome, I'd love to be back. This has been super fun.
Yeah, well, good deal. You listen to the show, at the end of every episode, we always debate and come up with whether we believe that a topic is newsworthy or not.
Well, you know my answer.
And I, on this one, I'm going to go first, and I think that Bigfoot absolutely gets a thumbs up and needs more news coverage.
Can you say you're a thumbs
up? Oh, yeah, I'm two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
I'm going to make this one three thumbs up. There's something there. I don't know what it is. But
I'm like flipping through my paper notes going, wait, we're done. I got so much more.
Well, save it for the next one because we got a whole, you know, I think the Bigfoot, you know, we've done some episodes that I've called you pre-show and be like, yeah, this is going to be like one or two or three episodes. We're going to break it down and just be nothing.
Yeah.
Voodoo is a good example.
Or what was the Chupacabra?
Chupacabra just made me so angry.
When I saw the title, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Hit play. And you guys went from 10 to 0 in like 2 seconds.
I was so mad.
That was the opposite with the Jersey Devil. I thought it was going to be nothing. And turned out to be a lot more there than I had anticipated.
Just crazy.
Mothman, right?
Yeah. Well, see, Mothman, I really enjoyed. I thought that was a... And there's still pictures of Mothman out there that come up. I can't wait till I'm hoping we've applied to be a vendor at the Mothman Festival in October.
That'd be fun to be able to go there
like we're going to Logan, Ohio for the Bigfoot Festival. I'm hoping that we can do that. Because that's cool, and I want to put a quarter in Mothman's butt.
I was about to say, did you see that? People are putting money in his butt crack.
Yep.
So, if you don't know what that means, Google it. Five thumbs ups. So, yeah.
I think that's a record on the show.
That is a record on the show. How about that?
We should have known that. This is a goat. Go for a reason.
Yeah, and there's just so much out there. Oh, there's no way you can
I mean, you
just
know, we're talking about one episode. We're talking about Wes. He does, I believe, more than one a week, and he's done this for a long time.
He's been doing it for several years. I was like on episode 784.
784?
Yes.
Just making sure. I'm not good with numbers.
Yeah, like, and I'm guessing, but it was in the high sevens. It was 780 something.
I feel like you get, you know, people that do reports all the time. It's constant. It never ends. It's always something. There's always a story. I don't think it'll ever end.
And here's the big difference for me with Bigfoot and aliens. Aliens, the government doesn't want us to know what they're flying. Because how many years did we have the stealth fighter and we didn't know we had a stealth fighter?
Is it aliens, though, or is it time travel? Is it us in the future coming
right
back?
Right, or is it us with a new technology that we're still testing and we haven't let the whole, the world know?
Like reverse technology.
The government has no interest in making hairy beast roam the woods.
Guess you have a point.
One way or the other. They don't give a shit. So,
but area, you're right. In Area 51, there's a lot of things that we know that they're doing that they're trying to cover up.
Right.
And vice versa. So, yeah, I totally agree. They would have a reason to cover up those things.
Sure.
Can I throw one more little thingy in there before we end?
You can throw whatever you like in there.
Okay, check this out. I thought this was really, really cool. So, did I bring this up already, the National Guard?
Mm-mm.
No.
I didn't. Okay. So, website. MIL.WA.GOV is the National Guard website. So the Western Air Force Defense Sector in Washington, they actually have Bigfoot as their mascot.
Well,
yeah. Outfit that probably a year ago at this point. Remember, I reported that there was a National Guard or an Army outfit that rescued Bigfoot, a Bigfoot family.
No way.
Right before Mount St. Helens erupted.
We covered
what?
That.
Yeah, we covered that.
I had missed that somehow.
You're right. I was Googling while you were talking, but I was Googling this. If you were 780, he's done a lot since. He's currently up to episode 1047.
Wow. Wow. Way to go, Wes.
We'll give a link to Sasquatch Chronicles.
Absolutely.
With the episode that you're on.
Yeah.
So they can listen to that if they like.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Basically, you're going to hear you always say, Jerry, that you want evidence of people who don't change their story. My story's been the same since it happened.
I want two things. I want reputable people and a decent number.
Yeah.
Significant number. That's what convinces me.
Yeah. And someone who doesn't change their story. My story's been the same since it happened. I have no reason to embellish or change, or it didn't happen to anybody else but me. So, I mean, I know what I saw.
But you were doing some pretty good drugs back then. I'm joking.
I was 12.
Those shiny mushrooms.
That was like later in life. Trust me. Give me a few years till I get to the teen years anyway. Gosh.
Just hanging out with the mushroom gnomes.
Hey, I was a fun guy. Man, that episode is really interesting. And if you'll stick around for us for just a few commercials, we have another great story to tell you.
Hi, this is Ed Locke with USA Mortgage. When it comes to buying a home, the process can be overwhelming and confusing. With so many options, it can be hard to know where to start. That's why it's important to work with a certified mortgage loan originator. I have the knowledge and expertise to guide you through the process and find the best mortgage option for you. I will work with you every step of the way to ensure that you are getting the best deal possible. So if you're looking to purchase or refinance, please reach out to me at 502-680-0953. So don't take on the stress of buying a home alone. Work with me and I will make your dream a reality. Trust the professionals and make your home buying experience a positive one. MLS ID 448908, DAS Acquisition Company, LLC, doing business as USA Mortgage, MLS ID 227262. This is not a commitment to lend. Additional terms and conditions apply. USA Mortgage is equal housing opportunity.
If you want us to review or rate your product on air, If you have suggestions for new episodes, awesome ghost stories, or anything else, please reach out to us. Our email address is newsworthywithsteveandjerry@gmail.com. Our text number is area code 540-709-1318.
And now, back to the story. So today, we were talking, and Jerry was talking about how he had a wonderful recipe for pigeon.
It was so good.
Unfortunately, I have some bad news for you, Jerry.
What is that?
We domesticated pigeons. They are nearly all over the world because humans brought them there. And there were more than just pets. They carried our messages. People raced them. They lived spoiled like little kings in their cages. Then we got telephones, and we threw them out like trash. Literally, threw them away. Their species had already been fully domesticated, and they could no longer survive in the wild. They lost all of their survival instincts during the centuries that they lived as our friends. That's why they live in cities now instead of the forest. They want to be near us. It's our fault. We treat them like winged rats, casting them away as pests. The truth is, they don't know how to live without us, and their instincts tell us that they should trust us. So they continue to come up to humans and beg for food, because it's the only survival technique left, and you eat them. They love us because they were bred to love us, and bred to feel that way, and you eat them and cast them out.
Just going to say, for all those people that are throwing them away, send them to me. I'll make some more pigeon pies.
And Jerry, if you can't see the light,
be the light.